And as I was seeking the Lord for what he wanted to emphasize this evening, what I received was he wants to do a work of inner healing and both renew and underscore hope. Hope is an encouraging expectation concerning the future. Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. Disappointment is a weapon of bludgeoning in the enemy's hands. And it'll surround an event of misplaced trust or where we were betrayed. And sometime with the best of intentions, and he wants to resurrect lost dreams. In the climate of hope, expectations of good things from our good God, we dream. We have visions in the stage of our sanctified imagination. Things we want to become and things we want to do. And when those get the wind knocked out of them, it's devastating, it's paralyzing, and it reduces us to just existence instead of life. Had that in mind when I wrote this song. It's about restoration. It's a season that's going to be characterized by restoration, and that's not the best of the good old days, but to God's intended state for us. Scattered roses in the rain, long lost joys from seasons past. You've gathered them again for a bouquet that will last. The fragrance of your love breathes new life into my soul. Made a living sweet bouquet from roses left out in the cold. I stared into the night, sought rhyme or reason for my mind. When I saw your coming light shine on me where I was blind, my dying soul began to breathe. You filled what once was empty space, created there a shelter with your healing embrace. But scattered roses in the rain, long lost joys from seasons past, you've gathered them again for a bouquet that will last. The fragrance of your love breathes new life into my soul. Made a living sweet bouquet from roses left out in the cold. Now, as there's prophetic packaging to be unpacked, and I'll park that as a Father Loves You care package in the inner mailbox of your heart for you to prayerfully ponder and test and sort through it. Lay it alongside the statement of Scripture, even as I submit it to pastoral authority here. and the prophecy may be sung. The sons of Asaph prophesied on harps, and I'll often do that on the guitar. Pat Serra, this is going to be a significant visitation and falling upon by the Spirit with oil of healing, especially to Generation Xers and Millennials. It's going to seem like almost overnight. It's one of those sweet suddenlies that's going to happen. And I saw your sons being showered and softened by the rain of the Spirit on the soil of their soul and becoming receptive and to be renewed to the good things that were planted in them long ago. And it would be a series of suddenlies, and they would be as pearls on a strand. Pat, I don't know a higher joy than when your sons become your best friends and you visit with them as men with Christ in common. I know that happened with both of my boys, now ages 47 and 42 approximately. I have a hard time keeping track. But I can remember when they were off the freeway for a lengthy season. And I remember the anguish that I felt as a dad and could, by proxy, sense the anguish that Donna felt as a mom. And times of just being overwhelmed with the void of communication and being able to find some kind of common ground to communicate at heart level and feeling so helpless. And rushing as a refugee in the presence of God to find refuge from the depression that I felt that would come upon me rather suddenly. It wouldn't tell the story of my life, but it would suddenly be like a cloud. And running into the presence of God and getting a sense of his patriarchal sense and his maternal side, saying, I got this, keep praying. He won't usurp the will, but he can soften and he can play on the strings of memory. And he can turn them around. And what was lost will be found in greater measure. You'll hear them wax prophetically and tenderly, pastorally, creatively, for deep down in the corners of their subconscious is a yearning to return to what was real and authentic. And seeing the superficiality of this world and the emptiness of its promises and the drivenness of its conformity for what it is, and coming out of the fog in it into the arms of the Father. I see it happening right now. It's in vivid vista vision, in cinematography, projected on my heart right now. You give me songs in the night till the morning light breaks in on me. And the darkness gives way to the light of the day you promised I'd see. Meanwhile, with a smile in the dark, I hearken to your voice and rejoice at the sound of your song in the night. Your blessed balm flows as billows of calm o'er my soul. You light the fire of your spirit that drives out the cold. Renewing rivers flow through my embattled mind, waking the ears of my heart, waking to find. You give me songs in the night till the morning light breaks in on me, and the darkness gives way to the light of the day you promised I'd see. Meanwhile, with a smile in the dark, I hearken to your voice and rejoice at the sound of your song in the night. We're approaching a year of Jubilee, folks. It's stated in Scripture, seen in Luke 4 and 18. Two-edged sword of the Lord, bringing justice down on the enemies of the kingdom, demonic forces, and bringing conviction to those that have housed hellish conspiracies. And yet the double edge hitting the hackles on the heels of those that have endeavored to follow the king in greater measure and found themselves dragged backwards and hindered and prohibited. These are the words of Jesus. And it's a reiteration of the prophetic words of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and preach the gospel to the poor, bring deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord of Jubilee. Preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Dennis, I saw the Lord approach you and present you with a silver sword, silver being symbolic of redemption, especially designed to liberate those from the hindrance and the negative programming of religious bondage. There's times when with a violence you'll slice and whack away the chains. But then I saw at times with the dexterity and the extension of the skill of the great physician as a surgeon, using it as a two-edged laser scalpel that would reach deep into the areas and cut out malignancy that had been placed there by performance-drivenness and condemnation and failure, and giving space for an invasive of God's grace, the operational favor of our living, loving God that accomplishes in and through us what we could never do in and of ourselves. Dennis, this sword he'll give as a weapon and as a surgical tool, and you'll be a glove upon his hand that wells the blade that's custom made in heaven, designed for you, his warrior son. and surgical assistant. He's not through with you by a long shot. You've been a diligent servant. You've given it all you've got. But now he's given you more to give. Your dream of seeing a parade of liberated ex-religionists will be realized. Hallelujah. I love the Lord because he heard my voice. He inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him while I live. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Faith, you've been diligent to stay in motion with Godward motivation and the desiring for his best. And a boat in the harbor, the rudder doesn't work. It's got to be in motion. And you have been diligently in motion. And the fog of vagueness that seems in the future is going to begin to materialize and come together. And the various settings that you've been in phases, the things that the Lord has taken you through that seem to be so irrelevant to your deepest desires, you're going to begin to see in retrospect that he was with you all the time and preparing you for his very best. You need not compare yourself with anyone. But the uniqueness of what he's had for you and the unique university of the Holy Spirit and the variety of curriculums coming together into the divine design that he's called you to do. It's a ministry of quiet leadership. It's a ministry of order, administrative soundness. It's a ministry of gentleness with those that would seem to falter and stagger under their load. It's a ministry of mercy that would speak with a soft, non-intimidating voice and yet a very penetrating voice. You have a hope and a future in him, according to Jeremiah 29:11. Good things from a good God and things that have seemed to be irrelevant are going to be as pearls on a strand of continuity, and the fog is being shined through by the Son of Glory, and you're going to begin to see the materialization of what you've been designed for and what he has for you, and begin to move toward that with a measured, accelerated pace. And the enemy who's trying to tell you you've missed it is a liar, and the Lord silences the tongue of the serpent. Hallelujah. From the Psalms. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and evermore. O Lord, my heart is not proud, or my eyes haughty. I don't involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. That could be the 11th commandment. Don't try to make sense out of what doesn't make sense. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. as a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and evermore. This time forth and evermore. Andrew. I'm blessed that when the Lord told you to go stand in the corner, you did it to operate the sound as only you're able to tonight. It's not punishment, it's assignment. And you've got such a servant's heart. The willingness to meet people on a practical level and bring the import of spiritual attitude with a shepherd's heart toward them. Gregarious and outgoing and overflowing with his joy. But the Lord knows a corner of your heart that was broken through the shattering of a relationship some years ago. And he was there for the scene. The enemies tried to play blame games and rob you of hope and a future that's yours. But you've stayed on course and continued to serve wherever you saw opportunity. And it's kept you in motion, and the Lord recognizes your devotion. And you'll be able to say with the psalmist, thou hast set my feet in a large place. He wants to bless you relationally and vocationally with a special someone and a special function. You've been in the University of the Holy Spirit all along with a varied curriculum. There have been those that have looked upon your life and said, can this be of a truth, the path of the Lord? But you said, I choose to trust my God, and he's going to make sense out of it. And it's going to be life on arrival in what he has for you. You'll continue to move at a grace pace on the freeway in the direction of the King. And you'll see someone moving at the same marvelous place in an adjacent lane. And the lanes will converge. You have wonderful skills on a practical level. There's going to be an infusion of Solomon-esque wisdom as a problem solver. You're going to begin to have dreams in the night that aren't pizza but prophecy, and begin to make sanctified sense in vista vision detail. He'll give you an interpretation of them the next day. And he merely asks that you be open to allow him to invade your slumber and keep maintaining that servant's heart with joy, because that's what kingdom greatness is composed of. And you're doing it. When the disciples were arguing over who was greatest in the kingdom, Jesus approached him, and he knew what they were arguing over. He could hear them. But yet when he asked them, what are you discussing, guys? He said, oh, nothing. They knew they were off on an adrenal ego tangent. And he said that he who would be great, significant in the kingdom and impact would be the servant of all. You've been willing to have your soul as a bowl of living water and wash feet in a way that's compassionate and sweet. And the Lord sees those things. And where there are secret struggles, he's going to be invasive. and give you overpowering, overcoming, high voltage voice that agrees with his, and you'll walk away from that liberated. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover them all the day long. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover them all the day long. Back here in the denim top, what is your name? Again? Yes, you just looked over your shoulder. Dee Dee. Dee Dee, you're a nurturer, a mama in the Lord. Willing to laugh and cry with God's hurting kids. And in the spirit, kiss their owies. In other words, apply mama affection to where they've been wounded. There's going to be opportunity to do that. And some of those kiddos will be in, chronologically speaking, adult packaging, and even your generational peers. And the Lord commends you. Dee Dee, you're fashioned as a nurse of compassion, working side by side with a great physician, moving in mercy as a mama in the Lord, aware of their painful condition, yet able to speak words that make them stable and healed. And sometime it might be just a conversational exchange on the telephone or someone you meet in the marketplace. And you'll just ask if you can discreetly pray for them right then and there. And they won't feel self-conscious, nor will you. Going to characterize part and parcel of what he's called you to do. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There's none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. This is Psalm 73. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my life and my portion forever. Lady in purple, what's your name? Karen. Loved ones that seem so resistant and so distant from the Lord, and some even imprisoned in their soul, feeling out of sight and out of the mind of God, and yet you know better, because they're not out of sight and out of mind of you and in their heart. I know we've all can look back in the past and see where relationally we might have failed those that we love most, because we're all flawed in that regard, Karen. The enemy will use it to magnify blame games. But love has always been present in your heart there. And Karen, they may seem imprisoned and so barren, but the Lord moves without resistance, and he moves long distance in the prayer that you share as you sense his very heartbeat so strong and sweet for those you love. And they'll be found to turn around in the direction that they need and be touched where they're bruised and inwardly bleed. So be assured that your prayers of intercession have been living seeds that you'll shine on and cause to grow. What's your name, my brother?
Thomas.
Thomas. You're not a doubting Thomas either. There's been seasons where you felt like it. But a return, Thomas, to the appointing of anointing you once knew and beyond that measure, too. Where there was devastation, separation and the collapse of a relationship, Lord didn't put a D on your head and cast you on a rubbish pile. But there's something wonderfully authentic and gut-level honest about you. And it's not doubt. It's a desire for authenticity. If it's not the real deal, you don't want it. You've had your times of being victimized by religiosity, misunderstood where the devil was up to no good. But renewing you to an anointing that'll be gut level and prophetic and evangelistic. So many years spent in solitude, feeling exiled, but the Lord in this season causing you to be renewed. And the anointing within, he's orchestrating in maestro to rise again in greater measure than before. Your heart cry, you haven't ignored. A man of God you desire to be, and a man of God you are. As surely as Peter, when he had failed, the Lord mended his sails with a fresh wind blowing. And the declaration of Pentecost attested to the way the Lord is to bring reversals in our lives. And the cursed accusations of the enemy that seemed to cling, I saw the Lord slip a wedge and just pry those off your back. Once again, to cause your heart to sing. And sing you do. In hell, you'll be known as Tom the Bomb. That's you. Bombs away. Child of the morning, sing your song. Lift up your eyes, behold the dawn. Let every fiber of your being be refreshed in his presence. Child of the morning, sing your song. His arm, the yoke around your shoulder. Bow down your heart and life begins. Lay down your life and men will see a servant. And your Lord will see a friend. Child of the morning, sing your song. Let your spirit rise above the throng, and let your lips of praise savor richly now the taste of new wine. Child of the morning, sing your song. His arm, the yoke around your shoulder. Bow down your heart and life begins. Lay down your life and men will see a servant. And your Lord will see. And your Lord will see a friend. Daryl, a real team player. You can be the holler guy on the team that encourages your teammates and year after year get voted the most inspirational player. And as you sow to the Spirit, which you do, you will reap of the Spirit encouragement to you. And those loved ones that have been beyond the voice of your encouragement, because they seemingly have tuned you out, you're too outgoing to be ignored. The seed's been planted there, and he'll bring them back and get them on track. And you will reap patriarchal encouragement because you have certainly sown it in tremendous measure. And you've said, Lord, I can't talk to those that I love most in the natural. I don't have their ear, but I have your ear to pray for them. In the meanwhile, anybody's ear I can get that needs encouragement, I'm going to speak into it. And that's been your resolution and a revelation of one who is swift to uplift. Well, he's swift to uplift. That's Daryl. Oh, he's a warrior that's got the devil over a barrel. Team player. That encourages your teammates. Hey, it's the second half. We're going to catch up and pass them. Greater is he who's in you than he than in the world. Uh-huh. Where are those Philistines? Hallelujah. You know, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We prophesy in part, and what we bring is at times fragmented in such a way to where the Lord needs to edit it and fill in the blanks. I've learned that about the prophetic ministry a long time ago. I've been delivered from trying to impersonate perfection, but I speak what he believes. I believe he's placed on my heart. And if something is lost in the translation, God be thanked, he's able to fill in the blanks. I've got a slight memory lapse at the moment. I'm going to get a little crude and say in Idaho we call it a brain fart. Remind me of your name. Joel, yes, okay. Coming into a new measure of divinely understood revelation treasure, Joel. A prophetic heartbeat. You're named after a prophet. There's a humility about you and a willingness to come under his hand and say, Lord, there's a lot I don't know or get right now, but there's going to be an acceleration of being trained to reign in the Spirit. And your extended family is going to see a marvelous transformation. And they'll tune you in. And what you have to say, they'll hear it. You have a warrior's heart, because I know that from the natural, from your athletic background. But it's going to be warfare in the spirit. You will identify the enemy lurking in the darkness and call it by name and cause it to flee. And those combative skills are going to be transferred into spiritual weaponry. Hooks and jabs and uppercuts, straight rights, you're going to drive the demons nuts. Say that to Joel because he's been a boxer. Joanna, there will be those that come to you that have been tied up in knots by the world. It's a Gordian knot. And basically, others have tried to help using the world's message, but all they've done is pulled at the ends and made it tighter than ever. And it'll seem like your work is cut out for you. But the supreme psychologist, the one who created the human mind, and the brain knows the network of our neurological paths that need to be reprogrammed. You'll speak truth to them, won't be clothed in religiosity, but in a sanctified kind of professionalism that's very gentle and easily entreated. Have you ever read any books by Caroline Leaf? You might look her up on the internet. She's a psychologist and an amazing woman with a track record of speaking into hearts and lives that have been severely twisted and tormented by their past, with an ability to not speak in couched Christianese, but in a way that is Jesus originated. I think you would really enjoy her because I think there's a certain camaraderie and commonality between you. That's Dr. Caroline Leaf. She's on the internet and her books are available. And in fact, there'll be some footage there and some videos. She talks with an accent and talks rather fast. I get more reading her than I do listening to her, but I get a lot listening to her. She's just delightful. But I see you with a similar ministry of untangling the entanglements of those whose neurological paths have just been, we used to say, squeeze squad, sideways, turned around and Chaos Incorporated in the brain. And the behavioral sciences are learning that the mind and the brain are not the same thing, but they're inseparable. God of the Bible knew that before the beginning of time. And with the renewal of the mind, with love-motivated speech, there's the ability to untwist neurological paths and replace them with sound thinking and a healthy brain as well as a renewed mind. And I know you've got natural knowledge in spades, and the Lord is going to maestro that into a symphony of wisdom, of untangling those that have been tangled and mangled and programmed by the world's methodology. You know, I saw this evening we were going to be not sparse but intimate. Yeah, I had a realtor friend, Matt Graham. Way back in the day, I used to do some real estate, and we were doing a caravan. That's where all the agents go out and look at the available listings and houses. And there was one house, and Matt is a sizable guy. There was one house that had this narrow hall leading down to the bedrooms, and we were kind of all crowded and jammed in. And Matt's always positive. He says, intimate. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. You know, folks, as we realize God's supreme purpose is to reproduce himself in committed human beings, he desires that his glory would permeate this planet. He requires yielded, shapeable vessels to inhabit in order to do it. And he designs the university of the Holy Ghost in all manner of circumstances, settings, relationships, some of them that bless us, some of them that test us. But as we look to him and yield to his inner working and working around us, we begin to see what he's up to in conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ in attitude and action. If we are riveted on that as his supreme purpose, we're not going to get off base and confused. He's working in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. And what pleasures him? Worship. Reverential affection. That's what worship is. Proskuneo. To kiss from a place of submissiveness. That's worship. And he deals with little petty idolatries and preoccupations and calls us to repentance and to shed those things. And we do as we cooperate, as he operates from within. He desires to cultivate love, a valuing of people, and we're awakened to just how much he loves us. And we're released to reciprocate and release that love to others. And love inspires us to obedience to the Spirit. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. The word in the Greek, obedience, it means under hearing. You are postured in a yes, God position before you even know he's going to direct you. But you're so convinced of his love that he's not going to direct you into something that's going to be hurtful are to be destructive, or to deprive you in any way. And we cooperate as he operates. Love inspires obedience, and obedience is to walk in harmony and accord with the promptings of the Holy Spirit. There's a certain sweet childlike innocence and likeness. And our lives become poetry in motion, doers of the word. A doer, literally translated, is poem, poetes, in that passage in the book of James. He's cultivating worship, And oh, Lord, that you would make me more of a worshiper. Love, that I would perceive the heights and depths and lengths and breadths of your love in greater measure and be released to reciprocate to you passionately and be released to love those that are the unlovely and not be so stinking quick to take offense, but to let it pass and live in the freedom of forgiveness. And love calls faith forward. Faith works by love. And we can stop trying to conjure it up. Just gotta believe. That. I'm just gonna believe if it kills me. As we operate in love, faith is called forward, and we're able to believe good things from a good God, even in the midst of the most contrary adversity, which we will find ourselves in from time to time. And he also loves the hilarity of generosity that he works in us. There's a sowing and a reaping, and we don't just give to get. That's manipulative. We give, and yet we end up receiving that we might give more, and we enter into this camaraderie of generosity. We stop trying to seek possessions and positions. Those things are added to us as we seek first the kingdom. And we realize that we don't really own a blessed thing on this earth. We're stewards of it. We have been placed as stewards of it, and we learn to keep an open hand and to release that as an investment in the kingdom of God and the extension thereof. And there begins to be this holy hilarity. Lord wants us to have good things. He supplies good things. And there's good things on the way. And there's seasons to where we'll sense circumstantial lack, but that's going to be resolved because we're confident that our God will supply all of our needs in glory, all of our needs according to his riches and glory. David, when he's pursued by Paul with blood in his eye, out for murder, out to kill this young singer and warrior that he envied, David is on the fly and on the lamb, and Dave's cave became a revelation station of celebrating the king and drew mighty men to him. And even in a time of circumstantial lack, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack." The Lord's working in us, both the will and to do his good pleasure inside us, circumstantially around us. We're constantly seeing things that are over and above our natural ability and to say, "Lord, I can't do that, but you can. I offer that area of weakness for you to invade and establish a power pocket because the thing I want to give most is to give myself over to you and your purpose to be a vessel that makes Jesus visible." Hallelujah. God bless that to you.